I'd like to call upon an individual, a Rav, that needs no introduction. I remember the first time that, one of the few times years and years ago, we were eating on Yom Tov on Sukkot in the Shvez Sukkah years and years ago. And no words could express. I mean, we all know who he is. A posek. I've heard many people who needed rabbinic leadership questions, and they say, I know who I'm going to call. Not in one specific department, different departments. Gives me great pleasure to call upon the Rav, that at the spur of the moment, I call him, I'm there anytime you need me. Rosh Beis Medrash, Rav Shaya Shefter.
Thank you, Howie. It's hard to be here. I mentioned to Howie when he called me this afternoon that I would drop anything, any day of the year, to even give the slightest bit of potential relief or encouragement to this chevra. I personally just came from speaking at a shiva home. I don't know if any of you were on that call on Shabbos, a 34-year-old in Woodmere. I told Howie I have to run out right after because I was asked to speak tonight to a couple of hundred couples who unfortunately do not yet have children, and going into the Yomim Noraim and Sukkot and Simchas Torah is obviously extremely complicated for them. And this in between, it's extremely overwhelming to come together. I guess it's this week's parsha, Chazak ve'ematz, to try to be mechazak each other when none of us really know how to do that. And I feel in a certain sense, maybe it's arrogant to say this, but this is such a sublime experience to be with the Chevra Hatzela, who are always there for everyone. But I felt Motzei Shabbos when I came to Dr. Krause's home and I saw Howie there and some other from the Chevra Hatzela. And you should just know, I know that Hatzela left at some point, but you should know what it meant to the family when they heard that Hatzela members went out of their way on Motzei Shabbos to be Malave, the Aaron, and to be there to take him into the place where he would be held overnight. It was such a nechama to them. They felt as if their own family was there and being represented. But what I felt when I came in was almost as if we're shutfim. I know that I don't go on calls, nor do you want me ever to be near a call. It's not my expertise at all. And we have so much gratitude and so much respect for all of you, for everything you do. But I feel almost as if we're partners, because unfortunately sometimes after a call, that's when sometimes the rabbanim of this community step in and need to partner together with you to do some of the rest of the job. And it's such a kavod to be partners together. It's an amazing, amazing schus. For any of us who have ever had the opportunity to work together with Hatzela, we all know what a privilege it is. So I thought just to frame tonight to talk just about two different subjects, two different aspects. One is to address Steve, who I think we need to talk about. And the other is to talk to each other. The reason to talk to each other, I felt, was sometimes community members look at us, and I say us because I count myself among the crisis team, I guess, at a different stage. But sometimes they look to us to be strong, and they look to us because they want our guidance. And there are times when we just can't be strong. I'm curious how many people in the room had the same feeling that I had yesterday. I participated in 3 levayas yesterday, was involved in a 4th today in our shul. Some of them incredibly tragic. And I was driving my car yesterday. I just broke down. At a certain point, you know, you're a hero and you're working and you're intervening and you're there and you're trying to give chizuk. At a certain point, you can't. It's just too hard. And sometimes it weighs on you. And it's very, very difficult. It's difficult not only because it's healthy for a person to work through the things that they're struggling with, but also because we have responsibility. We have other things that we need to do. We have other calls we may need to go on. We have other families that need our assistance and need our guidance. And we can't just break and continue to be broken. So it's important for all of us to come together and to have this opportunity. And when Howie called me today, he said, "I can't believe you're dropping everything." I said, "Is that not what every Hatzalah member does every time they're called? They also drop everything, even when it's important, to be there for everyone. They don't ask who you are. They don't care who you are. They come. And it doesn't matter how long it takes. They stay." So, yes, I reiterate what I said to you on the phone, that I, once again, would do anything and drop anything to be here. And I thank you for putting this together and for giving me the opportunity to participate. One of the highlights of the davening on Yom Kippur is when we read Maftar Yonah. And we know that a lot of people use that as a time to fall asleep. But in truth, in essence, Maftar Yonah is an amazing story. And it's a very important story for all of us. But there's a very fascinating question that I only realized for the first time this year. Never thought about it before, but it's so glaringly obvious. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu singles out Yonah HaNavi and he says, "I'd like you to go on a mission. And you have one job in the world. What is that job? Go to Nineveh." We're all familiar with the story. "Tell them they have to do tshuva." Sounds okay. Now, every so often, we have moments in our lives where maybe we feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving me a sign, maybe not, I'm not exactly sure. None of us have ever had an opportunity where the Ribono Shel Olam spoke to us directly, told us exactly what to do. And yet, Yonah decides, HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to him, the Ribono Shel Olam told him exactly what the instructions were, what the expectation was, and he defied the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He went on his own way. Okay? We all sometimes go our own way. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't tell me what to do. In theory, he did. We have Torah mitzvahs, we have a Shulchan Aruch, but the Ribono Shel Olam didn't speak to me. Yonah was spoken to directly, and he ignored the command of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Beyond that, as the story unfolds, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does miracle after miracle for him. What are you doing miracles for someone who's not interested in participating in the plan? Find somebody else to do the shlichus. Why are you going after Yonah and after he has clearly shown you that he's an unfaithful servant? He's not a good shaliach. Why are you willing to continue to invest in him, to do miracles for him, to save his life time and again? For what? Just find somebody else. Get yourself a replacement. Hayad Hashem Tikzer, does HaKadosh Baruch Hu not have enough people in the world that he could have identified who maybe could have done this job? Not such a hard job. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz asked this question. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz points us to a Rashi who quotes a Medrash in Sefer Yonah, where Rashi says, was Yonah out of his mind? Why did Yonah decide to defy the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You think Yonah was a Rasha? He was a Navi. Obviously, he was a great person. So how did he do that? And the Medrash says he did so because he was concerned that there would be a kitrug on Klal Yisrael. Here I am, I'm going to go to a non-Jewish community. They're going to be so inspired by what I say. They're going to all do tshuva. It's going to turn back and boomerang on the Jewish people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to say, well, how many Nevi'im came to talk to Klal Yisrael and they never listened? Because he didn't want to have a kitrug on Klal Yisrael, he decided, you know what? I'm going to take the achrayas on myself. I'll take all the punishment. Let the Ribbono Shel Olam be angry at me. Let the Ribbono Shel Olam punish me. As long as Klal Yisrael won't have a kitrug against them. The Ribbono Shel Olam turns to him and says, is there a greater shliach in the world that I want than somebody who's willing to throw himself under the bus? Somebody who's willing to take an onesh for Klal Yisrael? Is there a greater shliach in the world that it's worth doing miracles for? Is there anybody else in the world I would choose other than Yonah? He's the greatest shliach. He is the one who HaKadosh Baruch Hu says deserves the miracles. And I thought about this yesterday because that's what Steve Krauss was. The person who was willing to put himself behind the needs of everyone. When David HaMelech asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shamra nafshi ki chasid ani. And it's something we all ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu during the Yemei HaRachamim VeHaRatzon. Shamra nafshi ki chasid ani, look after me. And Rav Hirsch points out, what does it mean ki chasid ani? What's the defining characteristic of a chasid? Explains Rav Hirsch, he brings a raya from the Gemara. A chasid is someone puts his needs behind the needs of others. And David HaMelech says, I'm worthy of being saved, ki chasid ani, because I am a chasid, because I'm someone who puts my needs behind the needs of other people. And I'm always secondary. And that's who Steve was. And that's why his roshem, that's why his imprint has left such a profound impact on so many. And if you talk to your children who maybe knew him, they're shaken up. You talk to all different members of the community at so many different levels, and you find so many people who felt so close to him because he put them before himself. And that's what his whole life was, and that's what his legacy will continue to be. So that's just a short word about Steve, and I think it's important for all of us. You know, you cry, Shloshi Yamim Lebechi. It's the way it's supposed to be. The point of Hespedim is, we're supposed to evoke an emotion in each other, and we're supposed to cry, especially for a chassid, especially for an Adam Kasher, for a great person who gave of himself and who taught all of us what it means to live that kind of life. And now a word just for all of us. I feel in some way, when we go through complicated experiences, and I just said to one of the Chafetz brothers, who very aptly said, we need to start meeting in happier places. Unfortunately, when there are terrible accidents on Peninsula, you're always one of the first ones there being in the neighborhood. And I live on Peninsula, so I usually come outside just to see if I can really help any of you. Not that I can offer anything else other than bottles of water for you. But I remember being at the terrible accident almost a year ago, and thinking, you know, where do we go from here? Like, where is my place? And what I thought about at the time was, the psukim tell us about a rotzeach b'shogig. Somebody's involved in an accident, inadvertently murders somebody else. I'm sure, unfortunately, some of you have been on such calls. And that person who was involved in the accident and sees what the tragic outcome is of the other person involved can't live with themselves. They don't know where to put themselves. They don't know what to do. So you ask yourself, so what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu suggest? You have somebody who feels so despondent, so dejected, so demoralized by what they've done. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? How are we going to give him chizuk? Great idea. You feel so dejected? You know what we're going to do? We're going to take you out of your city, throw you into a city for lowlives like yourself in the year Miklat. You're going to spend the rest of your time on this earth with people like you who have done the same kinds of things, who seem to be a little bit irresponsible and maybe were involved in terrible crimes like you were. And that's a good place for you. We're going to rip you away from your community, from your family, from your shul, from your home, from your bed, from the comforts of everything you know. And we're going to put you in this place for people who are just like you. It seems almost like a merciless response. Like, does HaKadosh Baruch Hu not understand what the person's going through internally? Does the Ribono Shel Olam not recognize that they're struggling as is? Now we're going to add this additional layer of struggle to everything that they're coping with already? So the Sfasemis writes so beautifully, in order to understand and appreciate the story of the Ari Miklat, the Rotzeach B'Shogeg, you need to go back to the first time the Torah introduces us to this concept, and that's in Parshas Mishpatim, where the Torah says, V'samti lecha makom. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells a person is, when you feel you're in a position in life where you have no place, where you feel I just don't fit in, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to you in His warm and loving embrace and says, I'll make a place for you. V'samti lecha makom. For the person who feels they no longer have a place, I'm not worthy of being in this community because I can't look at anybody. I go into the supermarket, everyone's talking about me, everyone's thinking, I feel so self-conscious, I don't know where to go, I don't know what to do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, come. I make space for you. V'samti lecha makom, I'll make sure you'll be comfortable. Because I, the Ribono Shel Olam, always has a space for everyone. And I think that that's an extremely instructive comment of the Sfasemis. If you extend it just a little bit further, anyone who's ever experienced a personal loss and has unfortunately had to sit Shiva, the day after Shiva, it's extremely uncomfortable for the Avel to reintegrate back into the community. They don't know where to put themselves. How can I face people? What am I going to say? It's going to be so awkward, so uncomfortable. We've all seen this. What is the bracha that we give to an Avel? Hamakom yinachem eschem. For the person at a stage of life who feels I have no place, who feels I've lost such a tremendous gaping hole in my life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I am Mekomo Shel Olam. I'll make space for you. I'll make sure you're comfortable. I'll make sure you're reintegrated into the community and that you have opportunities moving forward. And finally, is it a coincidence on Leil Yom Kippur, tomorrow night, Leil Kol Nidre, when we walk into shul and all of us feel somewhat inadequate? And all of us feel somewhat ashamed. And we're not exactly sure what is our place in the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu entrusted us with a mission. Did we actually live up to it? Was He satisfied? Was He disappointed? It's uncomfortable. And the first words we say are, Al das hamakom. Remind yourself coming into Yom Kippur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows how to make space for all of us. The Ribono Shel Olam fills the void in our lives. The Ribono Shel Olam finds a space for people who sometimes feel they don't know where to put themselves. They don't know what perspective they're supposed to be having. They don't exactly know how to move forward. It's at that moment HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Al das hamakom. You belong in my loving embrace. And I have space for everyone. And I feel, as uncomfortable as it is to have this kind of experience in between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and it evokes such raw emotions, and it's complicated to process and to think, you know, what is our makom as a community? What is our makom as a chevra, as brothers, like how we said, who feel the camaraderie, who feel that they just lost one of their own. Not just somebody who's a distant member of the community, but someone who's our own, someone who we feel very close with. What is our place? And it is confusing. And if you feel that way, going into Yom HaKippurim, there's no more appropriate place to throw yourself in and to accept the loving embrace of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yishakeni Minashikos Piyu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes room for all of us. He will fill the void in our lives. He will grant all of us a communal nechama. V'samti lecha makom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will create a safe haven and a safe space for all of us to know that we are always welcome, that we need to be encouraged, that we do have purpose, that we do have vision, that there is something that we can accomplish. We all say the piyut, Rosh Hashanah v'Yom HaKippurim, V'chol ma'aminim shehu el emunah, I got the hint. V'chol ma'aminim shehu el emunah. Think about the first line. V'chol ma'aminim shehu el emunah. How do you translate those words? And everyone believes, shehu, that he is a God of belief? What? I'm sure the experience, like, what does that even mean? So it's not my kasha, the Medrash asks. It's taken from Parshas Ha'azinu, this week's Parsha. El emunah ve'einav el tzadik v'yasharu. What does el emunah mean, asks the Medrash? It should say, b'chol ma'aminim, we believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does it mean that he's an el emunah? The answer, writes the Medrash, is shehemin ba'olama u'baro. HaKadosh Baruch Hu believed in humanity, and that's why he created us. And that's our greatest pride. As we approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're reminded how lucky we are that we believe in a God who believes in us. Is there anything more empowering than that? It's what we say every day when we wake up, Moda Ani, the last words are, Bechemla, Rabba Emunasecha. It's not that we have tremendous faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's that He has tremendous faith in us. And although one of our own has been taken away, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bechazdo Yisbarach, has given all of us another day of life. And we all woke up this morning, and we all daven that we continue to have the health and the strength to do what we need to do, to continue on in our holy mission, and to be part of this very, very uplifting chevra together. But to realize, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us another day of life, it means Rabba Emunasecha. It means He has an unyielding and unflinching belief in what it is that we can accomplish. V'chol ma'aminim shehu el emunah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes space for all of us because He has something important for all of us to do. And it's just an opportunity for one very small member of the community to come and say thank you to all of you. I know it's hard, and there are times when it's not just hard, but it's devastating. Not just the physical involvement and expectation that's expected of all of you, but the emotional component, which is so extreme and so profoundly painful sometimes. But it's an opportunity for all of us to really personally and profoundly thank all of you for your constant dedication, for dropping everything in the world to help all of us all the time, Shabbos, Yontif, whenever people are away, somehow there's coverage. I never understood how that works, but somehow you all work it out, and it's incredible to see. It's inspiring. And we hope Ish Yisrael Ya'azoru Ve'Elachiv Yomar Chazak will have opportunities to come together to celebrate the work of Hatzalah, or to celebrate Hatzalah going out of business because nobody will need you anymore. We'll all be able to be healthy. Yehi Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be Memalei. Kol Mishalos Libeinu L'Tova, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should answer all of our tefillos. And He should have rachmanus. V'yi rachma mizgolalim al b'yosecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have rachmanus on all of us. V'al kol amo beis Yisrael. And as Howie so beautifully said, can there be a greater group of people who have more schusim than all of you? We hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will accept your tefillos, will look at those schusim, and it should be a great schus. Lanu l'chol Yisrael. Gemar chasima tova.